Okay, welcome. This session is mobile device management for non-Windows devices. But I've also been asked to include Windows devices as well, because there seems to be quite a lot of interest. So I don't want to kind of mislead you and think that we're not going to do any Windows, but we're going to do a lot of other stuff as well as Windows. So you've probably seen this slide a couple of times before by now, but mobility really is the new normal. It really is what we do every day now. I find some of these numbers to be really interesting. The fact that most of us now inside in IT actually support more than one operating system on a daily basis. Who does support more than one operating system every single day? Okay, that looked like about 90% of all the hands, so the numbers are correct. It's good to see them validated. We also have an interesting thing that's happened with the mobile world, which is that those mobile devices have caused other big shifts, other big kind of, we refer to them as mega trends, really. And the fact that we can take these things everywhere with us means that we want them to be connected to something all the time. So that's also led to this very big shift in the idea that actually we're going to consume all of our software as services off the internet. Things like the ability to go and connect to Office 365, Microsoft Dynamics, Salesforce, some SAP stuff, all those kind of applications. Lots of folks use them on a regular basis. And not always is it IT that's making the decision to go and use that kind of software. Who's got some kind of software as a service deployed inside of their organization? Okay, quite a bunch. Who's got users inside of your organization? You're the ones that have got software as a service deployed inside your organization, whether or not you know it. We have a tool that's part of our Azure Active Directory stuff, which allows you to understand that. And it's kind of scary when you start looking at it. We find that customers have an average of around about 300 applications that they knew nothing about before they used that tool, which is kind of worrying. We've also seen another big challenge that's been pushed forward has been the fact that security has changed dramatically over the course of the past couple of years. I'm going to build these out because these numbers are kind of interesting. People mix their work and personal tasks on their devices. Who sits in front of their laptop at work and uses Facebook on their phone? Okay. Who uses email on their phone and also Facebook? Yeah. We do these kind of things. The way that we use our tools just blends together now, and we don't really notice when it's work and when it's personal. We don't really have that much separation. We also see that there's kind of scary numbers around people losing credentials and getting their credentials stolen. You kind of don't really need a slide on that. You just need to go and open up a newspaper, look at a news channel, and you'll see that credentials get stolen every single day. It's becoming kind of comical, frankly, to see the amount of data thefts that there are, whilst at the same time being very much not a funny thing to be witnessing. And we kind of started to think about how we can bring all of those things together in order to build tools that make it possible to manage all of the information on all of the devices wherever it goes. So we built out this set of tools around our Enterprise Mobility Suite. And we kind of think about EMS, Enterprise Mobility Suite, in these three broad buckets and having these three broad jobs. First one is to unify identity, bring it all together. When you think about what you do every single day, you sign onto a bunch of systems. Have you ever actually thought about what you're signing into every time you set up your device? I set my devices up on a pretty regular basis. I flash my Windows phone once a week. I actually move between different devices on an almost daily basis, and I kind of find that I have to kind of reset my iPhone pretty often, and I have to go in and set my Android device up again because I've had new firmware pushed down. I have to do that on a pretty regular basis. And one of the things that becomes really annoying is having to go through and enter the username and password in this app, then the next app, then the next application, then the next application, and the next application, and the next application. I'm only able to make my life easier by setting the same password on all of my different services, which is a really bad idea. But that's what people do. We want a world where it's easier to do all of that kind of stuff. So we've built a lot of time into actually making Azure Active Directory able to cope with that. A lot of the other EMM vendors in the market are trying to get into the identity space right now. They've been out there and they've acquired some other identity companies. And the funny thing is that they don't do a really great job of integrating with the number one identity that's in use today inside of an organization, which is your Active Directory credentials. We do an amazing job there. The next place that we've kind of started to think about is managing the apps and the devices. But notice the order we put those in. It's kind of subtle, but it's important. We now start to think about how do we manage the applications. We're lucky at Microsoft, we have applications that people actually want to use as part of our offering and our ability to deliver the things to devices. Other folks have to build these kind of crunky productivity apps that don't really make sense to people and aren't really the one that they want to use. We're lucky in that we get to use the Office apps. From a device management point of view, you have to be able to do some level of device management. Maybe you don't need to manage everybody's device. Maybe there's another way. But in some cases, you're going to need to do it. And then we need to have this extra layer at the end of managing and protecting data. And we think about how do we make the data move off the device and keep it safe and secure wherever it goes. So the first thing, our identity. We start to think about unifying identity, making it so that our users don't need 20 different passwords in order to get their day job done. I used to work for a large bank in London, and I'll tell you a very comical true story. I could literally walk onto the trade floor, and bearing in mind that the traders there, they earn millions of dollars, millions of pounds every single day, for the bank, they are able to go into London, New York, Hong Kong, all of the major stock exchanges around the world. They have screens, multiple screens on the desk. They have a keyboard. They actually have multiple keyboards. They have multiple computers. They have multiple passwords. I could walk around any desk on that trade floor, lift over a keyboard, and I'd get every single trader's password that way. Because they just don't want to know what the password is. It's not worth their time to remember that password. And that's exactly what most users do. They write stuff down somewhere. And that's why it becomes a big, big risk. So we've started to think about identity as being one of the main control planes inside of the way that we think about managing devices, whether they be Microsoft devices or anything else for that matter. The way we do that is we use Active Directory. The on-premises identity directory that 93% of the Fortune 500 are using, the one that almost everybody in this room is going to be using. And then we connect that up into our public cloud offerings through Azure Active Directory. Nice, easy stuff. Simple connections, single sign-on. We also enable the idea of being able to do self-service inside of that. And that's actually quite a big thing because it lifts a lot of load away from IT and allows you to be able to manage the other stuff that you need to do on a daily basis. You don't want to have to manage password resets. Nobody wants to take that work on. It's very, very expensive. You don't want to have to manage group management. Wouldn't it be cool if, well, wouldn't it be really good if when you hired somebody or they moved between different departments, if the HR system actually updated all of their group memberships for you? That would be neat. We can do that today with something with integrations with a piece of software called Workday, which just sits out on the internet as a HR, as a software as a service application. What we can actually also do is integrate with other directories. So we can take our on-premises directory and we can synchronize with Azure AD. We can also use something called Microsoft Identity Management, which used to be called Forefront Identity Manager. And we can now take any information from any database that might have something to do with identity and bring that into the mix. So what are they typically? Well, they might be HR systems. They might be an AS400 that's running some sort of banking system. It might be some other custom application that's been developed inside of the business. That's all part of the user's identity. With MIM, we can bring that together, make it part of the overall story. We can also tell you whether it's working. So we can reverse monitor the health for you and alert on it. So say one of the servers falls over, we'll tell you about it. It means you don't have to go off and buy another piece of management software. You might have something like Operations Manager already deployed, but we're actually going to be able to tell you, hey, your server stopped syncing with us. You might want to go and investigate it. You'd be amazed at the amount of people who actually have that problem on a regular basis. We get to see from the telemetry how many people's servers do stop syncing. And it is actually quite massive. People don't notice it. They don't notice when the synchronization server's internet connection has fallen over for some reason. They don't notice it for literally weeks, and then things start to get a little bit out of sync. As I say, that integration with third parties like Workday allows us to be able to bring in information into directory from outside sources. So when somebody does join the company, we can set them up in Workday, assign all that HR stuff like payroll numbers, and then we can create an identity inside of Azure Active Directory and inside of the on-prem directory. We can move them into the right user groups. We can give them the right applications and automatically deploy them. And when somebody moves from the sales organization to the marketing organization, and HR do that move, then that just ripples through and all their applications change from sales applications to marketing applications. They get their access to CRM taken away. They get their access to the corporate Twitter account assigned to them. All of that stuff just happens. There's a couple of ways that we can actually do it. And the first one of those is that we can set up something called password brackets hash sync, because we don't actually sync like a plain text password. That would be really stupid. We actually sync a password hash, and then they can live up in the cloud. People just have to present the same hash back. Or we can set up full federation. So we use Active Directory Federation services on-prem. Again, we're going to be able to monitor the health of the ADFS servers. So we can tell you when things that commonly happen with ADFS servers, like certificates expiring and nobody noticing, we can tell you that that's actually happened and that it's about to happen and that you need to do something proactive about it. We've pre-integrated for you with 2,504 existing SaaS applications. And you can actually integrate with your own on-premises applications using SAML, or we can do integration using ADFS, or we can do integration by using the Azure AD application proxy, which I'll explain a little later. Or you can just do a form filling exercise where we'll just look at the HTML and we'll fill in the web form for you. So there's a whole ton of different ways of being able to integrate. There's a lot of applications that are in there that we've been asked for that you wouldn't expect. I almost always just say, go and have a look, and if there's not something there, you think it's a really big application, you can actually go and suggest it to us so that we can go off and do a full SAML-based federation with it, if it's really necessary. There's one that comes up quite often that nobody kind of thinks is going to be on there, and they're like, why is that there? Netflix is on there. Because we got asked to integrate with Netflix because a customer really needed it. Not quite sure which customer it was, but it might have been Netflix. The other one that's quite fun is the fact we can actually integrate with the AWS. So we can handle full single sign-on for you into Amazon Web Services from Azure. It's kind of weird. There's a little bit of an inception point in there, I think. And it means that we get this ability to have passwords that you don't need to know. Well, the user has to know that one password in order to access everything, but then we just use the federation to access all of the locations from that. But where it really comes into its own is our ability to do monitoring and protection. Not only are we monitoring the health of your environment, but we're actually monitoring what's happening to your users in ways that you cannot do on-prem. So the first thing is, Azure is a globally available set of data centers, and we can see every time anybody uses the credential anywhere in the world. So what we'll do is we'll be able to say, somebody just attempted to use the credential in two places that are too far apart to have traveled between the two in the time that the user logged on in those two locations. We call it colloquially the impossible travel report, also known as the Star Trek report, and a few other little fun names as well. But essentially what we're doing is we're saying that was just too quick. We can also go even further and we can say, see where this builds to. Okay. Going further and say, actually that access was malicious. We don't want that to continue happening. So let's just instantly put multi-factor authentication in place. And in the keynote you saw Catherine using multi-factor authentication with her phone in order to be able to add an extra level of security. But we've made a lot of investments in Azure beyond those things. And one of the best ones is that we've actually built out this machine learning engine. And again, creating one of those inception points, we can provide Azure Machine Learning to Azure. So it will actually look at the users that are signing on, and we'll learn their behavior so that we can then predict what they will do next or what they shouldn't do next. So if we see a user that's going to be moving around the world a lot, we're probably not going to tell you that they're moving around the world a lot. That seems to be their daily usage. They log on from one country, they move to another country, they can do it in time. That's great. But when somebody does that and it's completely out of pattern, for the past 5 years they've been logging on in Redmond, and then suddenly they log on from Auckland. We never expected that to happen. But we're going to tell IT about it, because actually, you might want to investigate that. Maybe they've just had their credentials stolen and it's been used in another country. We can also do things like have a look at all of the leaked password lists. So whenever anybody leaks one of those massive password lists online, we go and get it. We go and get access to it. We use our back channel hacker network people that go in and have a look at the lists. We get downloaded a copy of it, and then we'll check whether your user accounts are inside of that list for you. And the way we do that is we scan through your user accounts inside of Azure, we scan through the user accounts inside of the list, and then we flag to you the ones that have actually come up on one of those lists. And we don't tell you which list, because that would be kind of bad. But we do tell you that those kind of things are happening. We can tell you when somebody's logged on from a machine that was infected with malware at one point, even if you don't manage the machine. So that could be just me walking into an internet cafe in Fiji, logging on and using my credentials, and finding that that internet cafe was previously infected. We're going to tell IT about that so they can do something about it. We can also provide conditions of access. This is a big engine that we've built into the back of Azure. And it means that we can then look at the health of a device. We can say, has this device been enrolled with us, and therefore, do we have control over it? And we'll say that before it gets access to a resource. So say you want access to your email on a device. This is my device. I'm going to try and access my corporate email. I'm going to go into the email application and set it up. Exchange is going to turn around and go, oh, I don't know anything about that device yet, so I'm going to block access until Azure Active Directory tells me that it knows about that device, until it's been enrolled, until the organization has management control over the device itself. And once that's actually allowed, I'm going to allow access to the device to email. But not only that, we're slightly more intelligent about this. We don't want to really annoy your users, so they get one email in their inbox that says, you need to enroll your device, and they get nothing more. That's the conditional access feature that we've built into Azure Active Directory, and we can do that on any platform. We can do it on iOS and Android and on Windows. One of the most important things to be able to do is to be able to do that level of control, particularly on Android. Don't know whether you're, how familiar are folks with the way that Android works as an operating system? Would you say you're really familiar? Not very familiar at all? Okay, somewhere in between. Okay, how many folks use Android devices? Okay, so you folks, you're in basically complete control of your devices. You can turn around and say, that policy that's forcing encryption on my device, I'm gonna block it, I'm gonna say no. And you can keep saying no. And the organization can keep telling you to encrypt your device, but you can keep saying no. Nothing that they can do from that point unless they're using conditional access. Because then conditional access can turn around and say, I'm not going to give you access to this because your device isn't encrypted. It gives you a way of being able to have a forcing function on the platform. We also built in privileged identity management. Now, this is where things start to get really cool, because privileged identity management sounds dull, but we've built this very cleverly. This is the idea that you guys are the most dangerous people inside of your organizations. You guys have access to everything. You have admin credentials. You have root. You can do whatever you want to, but you probably shouldn't. It's probably not a good idea. You can take whatever information you want to out of your organization, but you probably shouldn't. So what we'll do with privileged access management is we'll actually say, these identities are only allowed to execute these permissions once they have provided multi-factor authentication. Once they have had authorization from somebody to allow it to happen. So it allows you to move into this world where those kind of data leaks that you'll have seen previously aren't something that's necessarily going to happen. And we can do security reviews as well, because CSOs like to do security reviews and the auditors like to do security reviews, and it burns lots of money for everybody. So we've built that to make it easy for you. We've made it easy to be able to access this stuff from everywhere. So once you've signed in with your Azure Active Directory credentials once on certain platforms, then you'll actually get seamless single sign-on to other areas. But we've also built it into the places we can. So inside of Office, you can now go to the Office Waffle and you can get access to anything else which is connected to your Azure Active Directory from that one location. We also have apps on every single platform for being able to access all of those applications that are connected to Azure Active Directory. And we've made it so that those apps will help you manage your accounts. So you can use them, for example, to be able to go and reset your own passwords, to be able to go and do group membership and move into a particular group. You can even create an Active Directory group as an end user from those applications if your IT admins want you to do that. If you don't want to do self-service, you just don't turn it on. But it can really, really help. We've also, inside of Windows 10, we've enabled Azure Active Directory domain join for Windows 10. And this is really kind of cool. This is by far the best integration that any platform has with any identity provider, frankly. Once I've signed into Azure Active Directory and domain joined my device, my creds are going to get pushed down to the machine. They're going to end up inside of Microsoft Passport. I can unlock them with things like the facial recognition stuff we saw in the keynote. And then that's it. I don't need to provide my passwords again. My device is now trusted by Azure Active Directory to use those credentials. And we go through this process of doing the Azure Active Directory domain join in order to do that. Now, I'm going to try and hope that the internet is working. I'm going to show you very quickly what that looks like. I'm going to move across to this machine. I'm just signing into it so you don't see my password. There we go. Really signing it in as me. Hopefully. I just like trying to chase it, really. Get on. I really have upset my PCs today. Come on. Wow. That's awesome. Guessing that the internet's there. Well, you could try it. That's interesting. Actually, it will get locked out before it. That's good. Okay, let me see if I can click the sign-in options here, select the PIN. Oh, there's a box there. Okay, let's try that. This is not a public build of Windows, by the way. So let's go and have a quick look at trying to do this. I'm going to go and grab one of my virtual machines here. Connect. Okay. I'm going to go and grab a video in that case, because it's going to be a lot faster. Okay. So this is a machine which has been Azure Active Directory domain joined. And the very first thing that she's going to do is she's going to sign into this machine. Once she's signed in, and she's using her Azure Active Directory domain creds to get into this PC, Azure Active Directory, as she's signing in, is going to be just checking to make sure that her machine hasn't been blocked from sign-up. She's then going to go and start zoom it so that you can see stuff. I'm going to go in and show the Azure Active Directory join very quickly. Going into the About box, the PC, yes. Okay, so it's joined to our Azure Active Directory. That's why it says that it's part of the Contoso Fake URL Co. Organization. Now, because the machine is joined to the directory, it is trusted by Azure AD, and you can revoke that trust at any time that you want to as the administrator, or actually as the end user. You can block your own device. So having done that, it's going to take her a couple of seconds to get to the right location. Skip it forward. Okay. Okay. She's now just gone and opened up Internet Explorer and signed into Office 365 by going to the URL. She hasn't entered her password at all at this point. And now what she's going to be able to do is seamlessly traverse into the other applications without getting any more sign-on screens. Well, actually, she's going to get one little road bump along the way, because we have one application which is deemed to be slightly more secure, so we're going to make sure that she is who she says she is, and we're going to actually put a third authentication factor in her way. She's signed on with her username, she's signed on with her password, she's signed on with the device, then she's going to get actually a multi-factor authentication prompt as well. In a second. Let me speed this through. About there. Okay. Maybe about there. There. There we go. Okay. So she's going to go and access Twitter in a second. Hopefully that bar's going to drop away. Okay. And when she goes to Twitter, she is going to hit one of those speed bumps and being asked to go to another multi-factor auth. Now, if we weren't doing this on a Windows PC, we could actually be doing this on an iPad using the Azure Application Portal application on an iPad device, the same on a Windows phone device, the same on a Android device. So there's the speed bump. She gets asked to do a multi-factor authentication. Her phone is ringing. She's answering it. She's typing in the right number on her buttons. She's saying OK. She's hitting the hash pound key at the end. And then the authentication will happen and finish. In just a second, and then she'll get pushed into that application. In a second, let's speed that up. Good thing about video is you can always press fast forward. There we go. So it's taken her into the Twitter application, and she's able to access the app. Now I'm going to switch us back to the main screen. Hopefully. Let's try that one. There we go. Okay. So that's the first thing. That's the identity as the control plane. Then we have our apps. And this is where I think things start to get a little bit cool. So traditionally, we've had to manage thinking about how do we focus on managing PCs, bring your own, choose your own devices, the regulated ones, everything else, the Internet of Things devices as well. The platform that we've built can manage all of those types of applications. When we start thinking about what you actually have to do from a lifecycle point of view, you have to think about managing devices when they enroll, when they provision, when they need to be managed and protected, and then when you need to retire them at the end of their lifecycle. So anything that you look at has to be able to work in every single one of those positions. So there's actually quite a lot to build there. When we start thinking particularly about mobile application management, we start thinking that we've got to be able to put data policies in place, we've got to be able to prevent data leakage, we've got to be able to make sure that things are encrypted wherever they land. We've also got to be able to potentially take out the applications when the device retires. Now, that last one is really important. There's been a couple of legal cases raised around the world where organizations have had to pay a lot of money because they've wiped somebody's entire device. Literally, somebody has sued their former employer to say, you just wiped out my music collection. My music collection was worth hundreds of pounds. You need to pay me hundreds of pounds so I can go and buy my music collection again. You don't want to be in that situation. You need an approach that can do selective wipe. So if you're just relying on something like, say, Exchange Active Sync for your protection against kind of that kind of stuff, it won't do it. It can't do selective wipe. You need something more. Typically, the approach that most EMM stacks take to doing all of this is that they interact with the native MDM. They then create some kind of container on the device. Hopefully, it's a container which leverages good, strong encryption technologies. But in certain circumstances, you're kind of on your own there. Hopefully, they've got some sort of SDK and wrapping technology where you can take an application, get hold of it if you can get hold of it, wrap it, then be able to deploy it and publish it. And then normally they'll have some kind of access back to the on-premises stuff, because mainly the servers need to be on-premises. Or if you're lucky and they've got a cloud service, they've just used the exact same thing that you would have on-premises. They're just hosting it for you. We decided to take a slightly different approach to that. So we have to do certain things. We have to integrate with the native device MDM. That is the main management point. We then decided that our Office apps were going to be really important to people. Our Office apps have now been downloaded over 100 million times on iOS and Android. That's pretty awesome. That means they are very popular. Actually, the ratings in the app stores are really high. We're about four to five stars on all of them. Pretty good stuff. We then also have our integration for management of those applications through Intune. Microsoft Intune is the only management platform that can manage the Office applications. Nothing else can manage those applications that have been downloaded 100 million times. It's very, very important. That means that nobody can manage the dual persona features inside of those applications. We then use Azure Rights Management, we'll come to that a little later on, in order to add another layer of protection to the device. Again, we have an SDK and an app wrapping software, which we've gone out to a load of major partners and asked them to start thinking about building our SDK into their apps. We've also released those so that anybody can build that into their own line of business apps. We manage Office 365. Not just the Office apps on the device, but we actually have all that conditional access stuff that I explained earlier built into Office 365. So anybody with Office 365 can use it. It's the only way to be able to protect access to Office 365. Some folks have built these kind of odd PowerShell connectors that kind of try and use Office 365's PowerShell APIs in order to be able to kind of sort of do management. But we're the only people that have native access to Office 365. Because, funnily enough, we own it and run it. And then at the lower level, we can still provide things like access to all the on-premises stuff. Very easily, you can go and deploy something called Azure Active Directory Application Proxy to proxy access back into your on-premises corporate environment. So it puts us into a place where we have multiple layers of protection on a device. We've got Azure Active Directory managing the identity. We've got Microsoft Intune managing the device and the applications that people want to use on that device. And we have Microsoft Azure Rights Management managing the data inside of the applications. And it's all packaged together in something called Enterprise Mobility Suite. What it does is something similar to the way that this is explained. It built out a bit quick. What it does is something similar to this. When we have a bunch of applications that have been deployed down to the device, some of them are going to be personal, some of them are going to be work applications. We know which apps are managed. We actually put a policy around those applications. It's not a container, it's a policy. Quite important to notice that. So then when we need to be able to do something inside of the apps, when they have a dual persona, like a work and a personal, we can manage them separately. So only the work part of the app is managed by the policy. The personal is allowed to be separate. So that means when we need to be able to do things like remote wipe, we can just take away the work part of an application. It also means we can protect against things like being able to take down data out of applications. So you can't, for example, and I'll show you this in a second, you can't take data from an email attachment, put it into, say, Excel, and then try and move it into a personal application. That won't work. Move it into a business application and try and save the business application to a personal location. It won't work. You can do everything inside of business-oriented locations, things that are inside of the policy. Selective wipe will take out the applications, or it'll take out the parts of the applications that it needs to. Okay, I'm going to move over to the Android device. And I'm going to refer to this as the Android device from the 1960s, and you'll see why in a second. Try and find the right one for this screen. Try four again. Three. It's the only one that's not labelled, so that's right. Yay, okay, three. Okay, so as I say, it does look a little bit like a 1960s TV programme. Apologies. I'm just going to type in my password. Don't steal it. Okay. It's pretty hard to guess my password, right? And this is just an Android device from the 1960s. Wow, that's very comical. And I've got a few applications on here that have been pushed down with corporate policy. So just to give you a quick look at that, this is the corporate company portal. Possibly going to take a couple of seconds. Internet may be a bit flaky, so I don't need it for most of this. I'll probably skip it. Okay. We also have a few other things. We've got a managed PDF viewer, a managed browser, Outlook, OneNote, an image viewer, and OneDrive. Okay, great. It's now loading the company portal up. There we go. See that I've got an application published to myself. I can also, from here, manage all of the devices that are associated with my identity. So it's hard to read that, but what I've got there is I've got my Android device, my iPad mini, a Windows device, a Windows phone device, and my iPad, all managed as that user, because I'm managing the user, not the user's individual devices. I can also go and contact IT, but I haven't filled in any of those details. So from there, we've pushed down the applications. We've pushed down Outlook, for example. So I'm going to go into Outlook. It's asking me for a PIN. It's my corporate PIN, which I've already set. Now, what this is actually doing is it's unlocking the encryption for the corporate data that's inside this app. It's a hard PIN to guess. And then it's taking me into my corporate email. And I've got two different personas in here. I've got my corporate email and my personal email. This is important because people want to use Outlook. Outlook is the best Gmail client that is available on any device today. It's also the best email client for accessing Office 365 and accessing Outlook.com. So people really want to use it. And this person has added both of their sets of credentials. She goes into her personal account, sorry, into her work account. She's got some text that she wants to paste. She's going to copy it. Nope. I'm on Android, not on iOS. There we go. Copy. And then she goes to try and paste that into a new email or a reply in her personal email account. And it's going to stop her from doing it. Oh, okay, the policy's broken. It should stop her from doing it. Ah, it does. Okay. On it's kind of funny. There's a few different ways that this appears. And on Android, obviously, we can't stop the pop-up for paste appearing. On iOS, you don't get the pop-up for paste. Kind of fun. So that is one of those levels of prevention that we have. But we can also prevent that from being copied into any other application that's not managed by policy on the device. If I go into the Word application, I'm going to see the same kind of thing. I'll have access to top secret information. I'll have access to personal documents from OneDrive as well. Same if I go into OneDrive. I'll have access to all of my corporate documents. And I can add another account, in this case I haven't done it, to access my personal OneDrive within the same application. And it's important because people are only looking for that one application when they want to get access to the data. No other management system can do that within an application. They require you to have separate applications that are inside of separate encrypted containers. We're actually just encrypting the data, not the entire application. Screens this on. Okay, I'm going to talk about Windows 10 for a couple of minutes before we move on to the next section. Because what you've just seen there is actually something that we've had to build to work on Android and had to work on iOS. One of the nice things about Windows is that we own Windows. That means that we can change the operating system. None of the other enterprise mobility vendors can change the operating system. We're all reliant on Apple to change iOS and on Google to change Android. But when you can change the operating system, you can literally change the rules. So in those operating systems, you don't have the ability to mess with the file system. We do. So we've been able to mess with the file system on Windows to be able to introduce the idea of enterprise data protection. So now the file system knows about the difference between something that's work and personal. It means that we can now have native separation of work and personal with enterprise data protection on the device. It also means that we can integrate with other things like Azure RMS to automatically protect files when they leave the device, which gives us some extra options. Okay, there's actually a bunch of different things that we put in place to enable this. And I like this slide because it actually shows you something that you don't see very often when we talk about enterprise data protection. And that is that actually, if you want to be able to do leak prevention and sharing protection, you need to have Azure Rights Management. You need to have Azure Active Directory. And you need to potentially have EMS in order to license those. So you might also have all of the management suite there. I'm going to skip through that one and move on to protecting the actual data, because it kind of leads you on to this. The way that rights management works, and we've really pushed our rights management technology into everything that we've done, the way that this actually works is that we take the secret formula, we encrypt it, and every time anybody wants to unprotect it, they need to get access to the key. Now, that means that unless they can access the key, they can't access the file. That means that every time that they want access to the key, they need to be able to talk to Azure Active Directory, which means that we can track what's happening with that access continuously. There's a bunch of different ways that we can do this, and the far right-hand side of this is kind of important because it integrates with everything you've already got. So if you're using file servers, anybody got a file server? Yes, everybody's got file servers. Then we just integrate with the file servers. There's a connector that you deploy on premises and you tell it about the file servers. And then you can set something up if you've got Windows Server 2012 as those file servers, which will automatically protect files that have any kind of sensitive content or are saved to a specific location. Take this one through. All the mobile devices on every single platform actually have rights management software that we've created. So on every single platform, we've built something called the Azure RMS Sharing Application. It's got a great name. But it's available, and it will actually help you to be able to access any RMS protected document on any device. It's also built into Windows 10, and it's built into Office 365. All of the key management is stored inside of Azure Active Directory, or Azure, what are we calling it now? Azure Key Management. And Azure Key Management is a huge investment that we've made to deploy HSMs into every data center. So all of those HSMs, they're files HSMs, they will securely store public and private keys in a nice, safe, very researchable way. You can go off and do your own research to see how safe and secure they are. And I like the fact that they have a very small amount of explosive in each one of the HSMs, and that can be activated if somebody decides to. Just one of those little tiny nuggets. Rights management connects into everything, literally. It's actually also the most trusted rights management solution in the world. Most legal companies use rights management. Almost all engineering companies use rights management. And the SDK is so widely adopted that there are things that you wouldn't even think about having access to rights management that do. So for example, does anybody work inside of an engineering organization? No, okay. So you may have heard of something called J2Go, which is actually a CAD application for sharing engineering diagrams. So the way that that's used is, say you're a big car manufacturer and you need headlights for your new car. You want to make sure that somebody is going to be able to make those headlights for you, and they're going to be your headlights. They're not going to sell that specific design to another car manufacturer. Well, you can rights protect the document, give it to them, and then they'll be able to access that document safely and securely, and you'll know when that's been used. It used to be very hard to set that up, but now it's just a case, literally, of sending somebody an email, and Azure Rights Management will just pop up in the background and provision the keys that are necessary. And IT, if they need to, can go and take control of those keys. Try and move these slides through a little bit because they take a long time. Come on. Wow. Okay. has a lot of horrible builds on these. So I want to show you a little bit about sharing with RMS. Now, I was going to show this as B2B sharing, but I'm just going to show what happens when we go and open up some RMS protected documents. So we now have hopefully a 1960s iPad appearing. Amazing, it really does look like an iPad from the 60s. Okay, so on this particular iPad, we've got the same set of applications that we pushed down to the Android device. I'm going to just go into my OneDrive here. It's probably going to ask me for my PIN, yeah. And then I've got a bunch of documents in there. One of those documents is a top secret product info document. Now, when I attempt to open this, what's actually happening is it's just going off and checking that my credentials are okay to access the document. It's going off and making sure that Azure Active Directory knows that I have access to this information. And it brings me into the document. If I go and check my permissions, I'm getting the permissions that I'm supposed to have that allow me access to that document. And we're doing it directly inside of the Word application. That was actually a feature that was added last week to make that possible, due to a massive amount of customer feedback where people were saying we really need this particular set of features. So all of the Office applications can now work with RMS documents. Anybody could now take that information, we could take that file, pop it onto some other kind of area. So I could go in here and, oh, actually I can't. Because this is a secured device now, I can't actually take the data anywhere, which is kind of cool. But I could go to the OneDrive website and I could be able to then go download the file, put that onto my home PC. Because I'm supposed to have access to it, I'll get access. But as soon as I email it to a friend, because they don't have the credentials, they won't be able to access the file. As soon as I want to email that to a friend and I want to give them access to it, then assuming that IT have actually given me the rights to be able to share the file, I can go in and I can share the file and grant them the right kind of rights, but it's all audited that that's going to happen. So that's what we mean by the ability to do B2B sharing. You can do it in a very, very safe and controlled way. Get the movers back to that again. Okay, so we've built something which is different. The amount of times I've said identity and credential during the course of this has probably become to the point where you've kind of twitched off on the fact that I keep saying identity and credential. But it really is incredibly important to the way that we've built everything out. We're thinking about identity as being the core of anybody being able to do mobility. And the reason is because we don't think about it just being about moving between one device and another. We think about people being able to go anywhere with their information. That includes being able to take the data anywhere and use it safely and securely. We've created this thing called the Enterprise Mobility Suite, which gives you access to be able to use all of these particular tools. There's probably at least one thing that you've seen during the course of that where you thought, that was pretty useful. That could be kind of nice. This whole thing is licensed on a per-user, per-month basis, and it works out to be pretty cost-effective. I have no idea what the licensing is in New Zealand dollars because I don't actually do licensing. I just want to show you just a rough idea of how you can get hold of it. We have a bunch of other sessions that are here that are covering off lots and lots of stuff around Active Directory and Windows 10, all that kind of stuff. Lots and lots of other information out there. But probably the best place to find a lot of extra information is on these places here. We actually produce a lot of free technical content, a heck of a lot, actually. Microsoft Virtual Academy has at least 16 hours worth of training on everything I've just shown you. I know that because I had to sit and record 16 hours worth of training on everything I've just shown you. It's actually quite good fun to go through it and watch it, and you can do these assessments and get points at the end of it. But we also do things like talk to the engineering team on a very regular basis, and this is becoming a really big thing for Microsoft. A lot of what you've just seen, things like the RMS features being inside of Word, the ability to do dual persona apps inside of the Office apps, the ability to be able to get the privileged identity management, the ability to be able to get the reports that you've seen, the ability to actually be able to integrate with those 2,504 different applications. Every single one of those things has come from customer feedback. Every single one is something that we've implemented because of conversations with customers. We actually release new features for this particular set of products on around about, I reckon it's probably about 12 features per month across all of this. Azure Active Directory is the most feature-rich release, with around about 4 features being added every single month. That team is on fire with the amount of work that they're doing. Microsoft Intune adds another bunch of features. The RMS team add another bunch of features, but suggest stuff to us. These teams are really open for the feedback. One of the easiest ways to do that is, if you want to, you can always email me. My details are all over the place. You just have to type my name into a search engine. But it's a good place to go and find this stuff. I'm going to bring us to a close a little bit early, because we don't have internet. That's always useful. But hopefully that's been useful. Hopefully it's given you some places to go and look and find some more information. Thank you very much for coming along, and I really hope you enjoyed the rest of Ignite.